Amen. Do you love him today? Do you really love him today? If you can say you love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I won't keep you very long. But I'd like us today to really focus the word. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then John chapter 3, verse 30. This is real short. John chapter 3, verse 30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And the title of this message today is, it's all about change. It's all about change. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's all about change. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. I would say that the longest continuous prayer that I have prayed to God to do is to change me. Is to change me. I've prayed that for years and years and years. You know why? Because every day I need some more change. There's things about me that I can see and I don't like. And every day I pray, God, change me. I might have said something harsh. I might have reacted in the wrong way. I might have showed a bad attitude. And when I realized, I said, Lord, change me. Change me. John the Baptist said, listen, he must increase, but I must decrease. In other words, he was saying, I've got to change. I've got to change. I've got to take away the me, the flesh me, and let Jesus start to take over. He must increase and I must decrease. As I've said for years, probably there's not a day goes by when I pray that I don't ask God, change me. Because I can see things in myself that I don't like, that I know God could not be pleased with. It's only his mercy and his grace. As we taught in Sunday school about the Bema seat and coming to a throne of grace boldly. So my longest prayer, and I'll be praying that still until Jesus comes. You know why? Because Paul said, I have not yet attained, but I press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. It's not as if I have attained. I'm so amazed every time I read that scripture because Paul was saying that near the end of his career. He had started hundreds of churches. He had set the whole Asia on fire. He had made 3 missionary journeys. But really he was saying, I still need some change. There's still some things in me I need to get rid of. Instead of looking at other people and telling them, you need to change, we need to point that finger at ourselves and say, we need to change. You know, there's an old time song that says, it's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I don't have time for you. I'll tell you the word, but listen, when I start to pray, sometimes I tend to be a little bit selfish. Lord, change me. I need a word from you. I need some change in my attitude. I need some redirection. It's time for us to stop pointing at other people and say, Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. You see, you know what we pray? Change my circumstance. Lord, take away this thing I don't like. Lord, give me a new job. Do this for me. Fix that for me. And God is saying, you know what? I don't want to change that stuff till I change you. That's right, because You know, if you change the circumstance, we will get back in the same mess if we haven't had a change inside. It's time for us to understand and pray that prayer, Lord, change me. Hallelujah, because if I'm the same person, it doesn't matter. If you put a pig in a nice, beautiful, clean room, you know what will happen to that room? No, you're going to have to change the nature of that pig. It doesn't matter how beautiful you make the circumstance, the pig will go back into the mud. Instead of looking and saying, God, change my circumstance. I want you to fix that, fix the other. You need to say, fix me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. God needs to change our attitude. He needs to change our outlook. He needs to change our prayer life. He needs to change our walk, our thinking. There's so many things that could do with a little bit of improvement. He needs to change our outreach. He needs to change our love. He needs to change the amount of forgiveness we have. You know, a lot of us think too highly of ourselves. We would change that song a little bit different. We'd sing it a little bit different. It's them, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. See, we need to change them. We need to change our talk. We need to change our response. We need to change our words. Some of us need to change our worship. But God wants to change us. He'd prefer to change us than our circumstance. In the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 1, after all of the things Job went through, demanding for God that he change his circumstance, he realized it was himself that needed changing. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered things I understood not. You know, we're so quick to tell God to change stuff, except ourselves. Look at him. Look at her. Man, I don't know how God puts up with them. The question should be how God puts up with us. Change me. See, David realized this when he wrote Psalm 51. He didn't say, fix my circumstance. He said, create in me. Create in me. Change me. A new heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Did you come to church with an attitude today? Did you come in here upset with something? You need to ask God, please change me. Do you know you have no control over anyone else? The only person you have control of sometimes is yourself. You need to ask God, you, going to change someone else before he changes you. Did you know that? He is looking to change you before he changes someone else, because that person has to ask for a change. That is the problem with us. We want to change everybody and change all the things except the things that we should be asking God to change, which is ourselves. I really, when I'm in my little closet by myself, I say, Lord, change me. I can see how I brought a wrong attitude, how I said the wrong word, how maybe I didn't say it, but I was thinking it. I was thinking about, will you just fix that, Lord? Will you just change them? Instead of asking God to change me. See, God would answer that prayer, I think, quicker than he will your circumstance. Give it a try this week. Say, God, change me. You know, if he changes you, you will look at the circumstance a whole lot differently. Jesus looked at the cross, and the Bible said, for the joy that was set before him. What? The cross is joy? No, the cross is not joy. But my attitude is to the resurrection. My attitude is not looking at the cross. My attitude is not looking at the circumstance. I'm looking at the joy that's going to come afterwards. See, Job understood. He said in verse 3 of chapter 42, therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. I thought I had it all together. I thought I understood how this was supposed to play out. I was supposed to get rich. I was supposed to marry the beauty queen. Well, in my case, I did, but that's... That part worked out. But you know, just because things are going good for us now, God can let something happen to us. He can let Satan try us. And Job got all frustrated until near the end when he realized that the change he needed was in himself. You know, the problem is not he or she. The problem is me. It's my pride that's the problem. Seriously, I've got a lot of pride. I don't want anyone to help me. Someone volunteered to help me, and I had to fight to say, okay. Because I got to ask God to change that. You know, I want to do it all by myself. When God wants to bless someone else. We need to start saying, change me, God. Instead of praying for other people to be changed, man, I hate their attitude. What about our attitude? What about my lack of zeal? My lack of faith, my lack of patience. Man, as I get older, man, I have serious lack of patience issues. And I have to apologize. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have snapped like that. Is that only me, or does anyone need some change? Let me see, I got some change here. But, you know, the kind of change we need, there can be negative change. Some people, their change is in the wrong direction. Instead of getting better, they get worse. To have positive change, you have to be intentional. You have to plan for it. You have to decide, I don't like that attitude about me. I'm going to change that. Because if you don't decide to do it, you know what? You'll do it again. You have to plan for it. You see, let me show you how change comes about. There was a man in the Bible that Jesus talks about. His name was Zacchaeus. And he was the chief tax collector of the city of Jericho. He was a publican and, of course, hated. But he heard a man was coming to town who could change things. He had heard this man could change sickness. He'd heard this man could change people who were possessed. And maybe there was something that this man could do about Zacchaeus. He was rich. He had everything. But there was something in his life he didn't like. There was something in him that was stirred up when he heard Jesus was coming. The change is coming to town. In Luke chapter 19, verse 2, he desired to see Jesus. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. He had everything of life's goods, but yet he was unhappy. He could look himself in the mirror, and still he was unhappy. What is bothering him? You ever get up and you're not quite sure why you're unhappy? See, you need a change. But he knew that there was someone coming to town who could bring a change into his life. And the Bible said he sought to see Jesus. That's the first thing you got to do. If you want to change, you need to see and seek out Jesus. Because he is the person who can bring a change into your life. But there was such a crowd, everybody else wanted to see Jesus. And he was a short stature, like me. So you know what he did? He said, I'm not going to be defeated about this. When you really make up in your mind to have a change, you'll find a way. When you're determined to change, you'll find a way. When they say, the doctor says, listen, if you keep smoking, you're going to die. You will find a way. You will try to stop smoking. And he ran and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And you know what happened? The change agent knew that was happening because Jesus knew about Zacchaeus. He knew there was someone in this town who desired a change, who wanted to have a change. And as he was passing, he called up and he knew who Zacchaeus was. So when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, let's say today. Today you can have a change. Today you can meet Jesus. Today something can happen different in your life. But you have to plan for it. You have to desire it. You have to want. I look in the mirror and I wake up and I say, you know, I got to get more patience. I need to calm down and not interrupt. You know, I have a habit of talking over people. I just realized that. Because I'm so anxious to get on with what I got to do and they're just taking forever. Come on, get to the point. I don't have all day. I need to change. That's not a good thing. I need to be more of a listener than a talker. And I see that in myself. Because I feel I know where they're going, so let me just finish it for you. I need to change. I don't like that about myself. And I have to force myself because I feel I'm about to interrupt them. Jesus came and he said, listen, today, because you want to see me, I'm going to do something for you, Zacchaeus. I'm going to come and stay at your house. If you want a change, Jesus has got to come and stay at your house, not just pass through, not just have a passing conversation, but you have to entertain him every day in your house for there to be long-term change. I must abide at thy house. You know, this thing with Zacchaeus didn't happen accidentally. This only happened because Zacchaeus determined he must see Jesus. He determined, I can't see him through the crowd, so I'm going to get up where I can see him. Sometime you have to rise above this noise and all the stuff that's dragging you down so you can get a clear image of Jesus. And if you do that, if you determine in your heart that I want to change, you can have change. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, look at this. Jesus just told him, I'm coming to your house. And already something is happening to Zacchaeus. He said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. See, that's real change. Change will be shown. Change will be apparent. Change will be clear. Change will be different. It's not a I'm sorry and there's no change. You see, change is about transformation. This didn't take long. All it took was for Zacchaeus to want it and Jesus to give it. That's all it takes. And Jesus said to him, this day, salvation, a transformation has come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. Do you understand? God never called us to stay. Anything that doesn't change is dead. Go stare at a rock. See how much it changes. Doesn't change. But as I said in Sunday school, go stare at an ant. They never stand still. They're always just zipping around. See, anything that's alive will change. Before I got married, I asked my wife a silly question. I said, are you going to change? I was scared. That's such a stupid question. Of course she's going to change. Of course I changed. You know? That's what we've got to do. Even Jesus changed. The Bible said he grew in wisdom and knowledge. Can any of us say that today? Because we certainly need it. We certainly need to grow in wisdom and knowledge. There has to be change. Now don't get quiet on me all looking like I'm happy the way I am. I'm happy the way I am. I wasn't pointing to anyone who was folding their arms. Don't worry. Well, to tell you the truth, I'm not happy the way I am. I can see things that need change. God never called us to stay. He called us to change. We said it in Sunday school. When he went by the Sea of Galilee, he found those fishermen. What did he do? He called them. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Then Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I'm going to change you. Instead of being fishermen, I'm going to make you fishers of men. See, when God calls you, he wants to change you. But it's us fighting him. It's us saying, no, I'm quite happy, thank you. No, I don't need any of that. You know, we went out some Wednesday nights handing out tracts, and occasionally you find someone that says, no, I'm quite comfortable. Do you go to church? No, I'm quite comfortable. Do you know God? I'm quite comfortable. Everything, they were quite comfortable. They don't want to change. My dad used to tell a story of this guy. He was walking down and he was looking for an address. And he went up to someone and he said, could you? And the guy said, I don't know. That's exactly how some of us are. We haven't heard the question and we're already saying no. He just said, could you? He could have been offering him $100. He said, I don't know. Because we don't want to change. Only dead things don't change. Genesis 35:2. Jacob telling his household, he said unto his household and to all with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. Be clean and change your garments. It's time for us to have a change, a clean outfit, a new righteousness, not of ourselves, but from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We need to cry out, God, change me, make me anew, restore me, revive me. Sometimes all we want to say is, I don't want to hear anything. I'm fine. It's all good. And we're going to die. Jesus said, you're going to die in your sins. So how does positive change come about? I said it has to be intentional. You have to recognize that you need a change. Maybe you don't cut people off when they're talking. That's very bad. That's rude. That's my change I need. But I find I'm so impatient nowadays. I don't have time. Get to the end. But change comes, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:10, when we recognize the need. The Bible says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Not to be sorry about, but the sorrow in the kind of the world worketh, where, you know, you're sorry because you got caught. But true godly repentance is the beginning of a change. When I see the bad things in me, I know I need to change. When we pray, David in Psalms 51, as I said, he said, create in me a clean heart. He recognized that what he had just done was awful, was terrible. There must be something wrong in his heart that he would do the things he did to take someone else's. He probably just finally saw himself and recognized how terrible and corrupt. The Bible says our heart is exceedingly deceitful. It'll fool us into thinking we're a good person. Someone said, there is no good thing in me. I think that person was Paul. I find there is no good thing in me, because when I want to do good, evil. You know, I say the wrong thing, or I get an attitude. You see, we have to then pray for change. Psalms 139, 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. David realized it's easy for wicked ways to creep in us, where we start to think negative things about people for no reason. See, what we want is positive change, because there can be some bad change. There can be people who change back into the world. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul said, for Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world. On the one hand, you look at suffering for Christ. On the other, easy street. Man, I could sleep. Sweetest sleep is on Sunday morning, isn't it? That's when the bed feels the best. See, it's easy to change the wrong way. Get out of, you see what happened in COVID? We got out of the habit of coming to the house of the Lord. Some people still haven't come back. The change has not been for the better. Bible says clearly, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves. When the church is open, we should be there. That's some change we can pray God gives us the heart and desire. We have to be intentional. I tell you, the longest prayer I've prayed every day is, Lord, change me, because I see things I don't like. Lord, I want you to clean me up. I want you to take me and mold me and make me after thy will. Romans 12:2 says, be ye not what? Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. In other words, be changed, be different by the renewing of your mind, that he may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. People are always asking me, should I do this, should I do that, should I do the other? Renew your mind. Pray. Because that's what I'm going to tell you. Pray. And ask God that he will show you his perfect. We've got to be transformed. When you have the mind of God, you'll know the will of God. If you have the mind of flesh, then you won't know the mind of God. I think Sister, at the prayer breakfast, what was her name? Gonzalez, Friday night, she said, what you tolerate, you will never change. Didn't she say that? In fact, that's when I got this message. When she said, what you tolerate, you will, what you get comfortable, sometimes we get comfortable with bad habits. We used to have a bad habit, confession, to come to church late. I told you this. One day, the pastor brought us in and he said, you don't love God. Now, a lot of you would have quit when he told you that. He sat us down, he said, and as stone-faced as he could, he says, you don't love God. I said, I'm so sorry, Pastor. We're gonna change. And it took us a while, but we did change. See, you have to be purposeful. You have to be determined. You have to be humble. You have to seek God. You have to say, I want to change. What you tolerate, you will never change. Are there some things you're allowing yourself? It's okay. It's not a big deal. I don't need to fix that. Nobody knows about it. You should never become comfortable doing wrong. Now, we may fail, we may end up doing wrong, but you should be upset about it. You should be praying about it. You should drop to the Lord, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. Whatever you tolerate, you will never change. And the other thing she said, desperation is necessary for change. Zacchaeus was desperate to see Jesus, that he climbed up a tree. He probably had to humble himself because he was the rich man in town. This rich man is climbing up a tree. Look at that. Look at Zacchaeus climbing up a tree. Who does he think he is? He had to humble himself in order to get the change. And Jesus recognized it. When we humble ourselves, when we desire from God something, he will give it to us. You got to get desperate if you want to change. I only gave you three of the things I want God to change, but there's a lot more. Because as Paul said, it's not as if I have attained, but I press. Are you pressing today? Are you trying? We need a change. Matthew 18:3, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, verily I say, except ye be converted. You know what? Except you be changed and become as little children, you're not going to enter the kingdom. Unless you stop all this prideful, big man, big woman stuff and humble yourself, unless you change and become as innocent as little children, you might as well forget it. Not too many amen on that. It's the truth anyhow. You have got to be willing to say sorry. You've got to be willing to take the wrong, even if you think you're right. You've got to be willing to be like a little child. Jesus said this, except you change and become as a little child, you're not going to enter the kingdom. In fact, it even says things like healing and blessing and God's favor. You won't get it. John 12:40, he said, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, and they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, be changed. Some people, Satan has blinded their eyes. They can't even see themselves. They don't even know that they need a change. That's what Jesus said, and be converted. And because they're not converted, because they're not changed, I should heal them. Not going to heal them because they're not changed. Even if I was to heal them, guess what? They'd be back doing the same thing. God could heal them of lung cancer next week. They'd be now, okay, now I can do back to 3 packs a day. Because there is no change. Because there's really no redirection. In fact, in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, be changed, that your sins may be blotted out. You know why our prayers don't go through? It's because a lot of us are not converted, are not changed, or not trying to change. We're so happy with the way things are. In fact, Jesus told Peter, he said, I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, in Luke 22:32. And when you are changed, then you can go pray for people. A lot of people want to pray for people and they're not changed. That's what he told Peter. He says, listen, I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when you are changed, then you can go strengthen your brethren. Don't be talking to them before that, Peter, because you got some issues. You got some problems that need fixing. When you have been changed, then you go pray for people. then go strengthen the brethren. That's some of the things Jesus said about change. Lord, change me. Scripture I started with, that's what John the Baptist recognized. Although he had had crowds coming to him, everybody was flocking to him, he realized, listen, I still need some change. Although Jesus said about him, of men born of woman, he is, there's none greater than John. Think about what Jesus said about him. That means Abraham was not greater than John. Jacob was not greater than John. Isaac was. Jesus said about John the Baptist, of men born, there is none greater than he. But he that is least in the kingdom, that means those of you who have been changed, those of you who have been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, those of you who had your sins washed away, are greater than he. John said, I must decrease and he must increase. What does the change look like? What should I look like? Well, I need to be changed into his image. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed. See, when you're looking only at Jesus, here's what's going to happen. You're going to start to look like him. Have you noticed that people who live together start to look alike? Yeah, I'm sorry for people around me, but that's just how it is. My daughter always says, yeah, they say we look alike. And I keep telling her, well, I'm sorry. When you live with Jesus, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to start to look like him. So if you look the same, it's because you've not been living with Jesus enough. Paul in Corinthians says, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. If all you're doing is looking at Jesus, you're going to be changed. Moses, when he went up on the mountain looking at the glory of the God, when he came back, his face was changed. Wasn't it? Just looking at the glory changed his face so that nobody else could look at him. And they were scared. He had to put a veil on. Instead of looking at her and this one over here, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith will start to change you. Isn't that what it said about Zacchaeus? He wanted to see Jesus. He said, I must see Jesus. Looking at Jesus begins the change. I'm almost finished. John 3:2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him. Anyone who's got their eyes on Jesus doesn't have time to be looking at anything else. Even themselves. At the conclusion of Job's arguments with his friends, this is what he said in Job 14:14. If a man die, shall he live again? Here's what his hope, despite the fact that he had lost everything and was sick to death, even though his wife had cursed him and probably run off. He says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. If you could stand with me. See, we're all waiting, at least I'm waiting for the final change. The final change. I'm tired of being here. I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of all the mess. But there is hope. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Title of my message was, it's all about the change. You need to meditate upon that. It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. I'm the one standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one that really needs changing. I need to be changed into your image. I need to be changed into your likeness. And if I am walking and led of the Spirit, there's coming a day when it says in Thessalonians, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together. We're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I'm sure that will still be my prayer Lord, change me. Because I want to be better. I want to be different. I don't want pride. I don't want selfishness. I don't want impatience. I want to be like you. I don't want lust. I don't want any of these things to drag me out of your kingdom. I don't want ambition. I get all kinds of offers nowadays, you know? Just because I'm pastor, don't think I don't get all kinds of offers? You should check my phone. My wife does. No, she doesn't. But you know, I can tell you this, they absolutely stand 0000 chance. Minus if it can go that low. Because I want to look at Jesus. I have too much at risk to trade what God has done for me. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith. That this flesh must decrease and he must increase. Lord, change me. Hallelujah. This altar is open for if you would like to come and pray. If you want to pray where you are, that's okay. But let our prayer be this week, Lord, change me. Change the things that you see, that I don't even know, that I'm not even aware of. But Lord, change me. Let me stare straight at you. Oh God, that your vision can change me. That you can make me and restore me. Hallelujah. Into your image. As we close this service, that should be our prayer today. Change me. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, we just come to you today in all humility. Lord, you know the things in our heart. You know the things about us, Lord God, that need changing. We submit our will to you, Lord God. We ask you right now to just fill this house with an atmosphere of faith towards you, that you will have free will, Lord God. We invite you into our house like Zacchaeus. Please come into our house today and change us. Remake us. Hallelujah. Renew us. Redirect us. Lord, just operate on us. Hallelujah. We just thank you and believe in faith, Lord God, that your love and your grace is poured out in this place right now, that everyone who wants to, everyone who desires can look into your smiling face. Lord, that you will pour out such a change. Lord, that you will pray for us as you did for Peter, that our faith fail not. We thank you. Hallelujah. Church, if you could pray for me and pray for those at the altar as I lay hands on them, I'm not going to pray for you long. I'm going to just lay my hands on you and I'm going to say whatever change that you desire, that God will bring it forth and that he will operate it. He will open up his treasure of love. Hallelujah. Just like Zacchaeus. It was a quick transaction. Zacchaeus said, I'm going to change. God said, you are going to change. That's how quick it can be. Hallelujah.